Okay, I'd like to convene the Ways and Means Committee, and we do have a quorum present. Yesterday we had an overview of the original bill by Representative Marquardt, House File 128, which will become Senate File 47. We did have an overview of a much discussed amendment as well yesterday. So I just want to give people a heads up. We can get done earlier if possible, but we do have an absolute deadline from the revisor's office that we have to be done by 10 o'clock so we can get things up to them to get the committee report prepared. So just kind of keep that that in mind as we go through. Representative Marquardt, do you have any brief introductory comments before we move into the amendments?
No, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. What I would do is I'm going to move Senate File 47 first engrossment be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion? Representative Marquardt.
No, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to now move the A5 amendment. And that was the amendment that we talked about before we adjourned last night.
Okay, that motion is before us. Any discussion on the A5 amendment? And then all those in favor signify.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
That's an amendment, and you've got an amendment to the amendments following, so please don't vote on that one yet.
That's right. We've got
I'm sorry. Yes, I also have an amendment to the amendment. I would like to move the A7 amendment to the A5 amendment.
Okay, that motion is before us. I have it. I had the back side of the agenda. I didn't flip the paper over to see what the next motion was. So, okay, Representative Marquardt, if you could explain the amendment.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and members, what this amendment does, it's actually a change in the cost on the personal care attendance from about $26 million. It actually goes down to $21 million. It's an adjustment there. And then it just clarifies that some of the other spending items in the A5 amendment are one time. So that's pretty much it for that.
Okay. And any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Okay. Motion carries. Representative Hornstein. Are you going to offer your amendment?
No, Mr. Chair, I'm not offering the amendment.
Okay, so we will go to Representative Liebling. Do you have an amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I do. I have the, let's see here. I move the 47A10 amendment to the 47A5 amendment.
Okay, the motion is before us. If you could explain the amendment.
Yes. So, Mr. Chair and members, this is, I am doing this on behalf of Representative Moran. So one of the very important bills that actually was passed in last year's omnibus HHS finance bill and has cleared committees again with a great deal of support, I think even unanimous support from members in the House, is Representative Moran's bill that would essentially align the background check requirements for foster care with the ones that currently exist for adoptive parents. So this is a bill that we have an opportunity to pass this year. It's an equity piece that's very, very important, because what it means is that we need to allow children of color to be cared for in foster care with their own families wherever possible. Whereas current law actually imposes high standards so that too many times parents or relatives are deemed, not parents, but relatives are deemed not qualified to be a foster parent for their own relative because the background requirements are higher than they would be if the child was going to be adopted by that person. So what this amendment does is it puts the appropriations for the bill into the main bill. It is not the language of the bill, however, that is, I think that the intent is for Representative Moran to offer that on the House floor, but we needed to be sure that the appropriations that were necessary are going to be carried in this bill. And it's a contingent appropriation, I think, because I'm not exactly sure why there's uncertainty about her adding it, but if she doesn't, in fact, add the language, the appropriation will not be in the bill. So I understand that Mr. Berg is probably on the call here and can probably explain the details of this a little bit better than I can if there are questions, but that is the gist of the amendment.
Mr. Berg, are you with us?
But you're muted, Mr. Berg.
What Representative Liebling mentioned, as she said, the reason this is a contingent appropriation is, as she mentioned, the enabling legislation is not part of this amendment. It is only the funding that would be necessary. So it's contingent in the event that somehow this bill passes, but the other legislation does not. I know it is Representative Moran's intent to offer that legislation and get it passed, but since they're in two different places, this appropriation is contingent. And if you notice, it is a $100,000 appropriation in fiscal 21 with a base of $115,000 a year after that. But there is federal financial participation of $32,000 in fiscal 21 and $37,000 a year after that. So the net cost to the general fund would be $68,000 in fiscal 21 and $78,000 a year ongoing to make these changes to the background study system.
Okay, any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
Motion carried. We now have the original amendment before us as amended. Any additional comments, Representative Marquardt?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And so all I would add is that this amendment at no additional cost to the general fund. In fact, now with the A7 amendment, it actually saves about $7 million to the general fund. It does provide important investments that will make our communities stronger, healthier, and safer. I mean, it provides important dollars to our personal care attendants, our child care providers, veterans, state patrol, corrections, young families. It does really help our local communities and our constituents on the local level help make it through these times, but also help make their community stronger. So I would ask for a yes vote.
Okay, any further discussion on the A5 amendment as amended?
Well, Mr. Chair, this is Tina Liebling. Was there another amendment? I thought Representative Long had an amendment.
That's to a different part of the bill. That will be coming up. That will be after we dispose of this amendment. That will be taking up the Long amendment. That goes to the original part of the bill. So any further discussion on the A5 amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
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 Motion carried. So the amendment is adopted. Now we'll go to the next amendment, which is the Long Amendment. Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to move the SF-47A8 amendment.
Okay, that is before us. Would you care to explain the amendment?
I would, Mr. Chair. I want to start by thanking Chair Markport and Representative Garofalo for their hard work in the negotiations with the Senate. One big piece that the negotiations left out, despite the best efforts of the House team, is any allocation based on need. The bill we supported unanimously out of this committee in the regular session had a $100 million need-based fund. And we did that because we recognize that needs are not equal across the state. But the bill that came back from negotiations has $0 spent based on need, despite spending an additional $200 million overall. And we know that communities are not seeing the impact of COVID-19 equally across the state. Just as one example, in Representative Hamilton's district, Nobles County was recently reported to have the fourth highest per capita cases in the nation. Under the underlying bill that we're looking at today, Nobles County has the same population essentially as Wabasha County, so they would get the same amount of funding. But Nobles County has 77 times the rate of COVID-19 cases, 1,600 cases to Wabasha County's 21. We don't know where the next outbreak is going to be. In Representative Jean Poppy's district, we're starting to see increasing case numbers at the Hormel and Quality Pork Processors plants. Maurer County now has 733 cases, putting them in the top 10 counties in the state, and that could grow. The $841 million amount is in local government funding is advisory from the federal government. It's not a requirement. States can spend less, and they can also spend more. So this amendment would respect and leave intact the $841 million agreement reached by Chair Markert, Representative Garofalo in the Senate. The same runs that have been sent out to folks, as was talked about on the floor, would stay the same for counties and cities. But this would add a modest $30 million fund, 3% of the total amount we're proposing to spend here, on top of the agreed spending with the Senate to help target these hotspots. I hope that this is a common sense approach that the committee can support to make sure we're ready to help the next local government cope with the future hotspot. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Markwart.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. And I did visit with Representative Long about this amendment. And as he mentioned, this does not impact the $841 million agreement. All of the runs that you would have seen on counties, cities, and townships remain the same. There's no changes to any of the language. This adds on $30 million that would go to our local governments to deal with unanticipated costs or hotspots and so forth, as Representative Long mentioned. So I do support the amendment and appreciate Representative Long bringing this forward.
Okay, any further discussion? Seeing none then, all in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No.
A motion carried. We now have the bill before us. I don't see any further amendments. So Representative Markwart or members, any further discussion on the bill as amended? That's where we should go first.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
I heard somebody say yes.
Yes, Greg Davids here.
Oh, okay, Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, you know, where I come from back on the farm, a deal's a deal. This is extremely disappointing. A deal was made. How many times we read in the press that there was a deal between all four caucus leaders, and there was a deal before all caucus leaders. In my 28 years in the Minnesota House, I have never seen where all four caucuses agree on something, and then one doesn't keep their word and backs off. And that's what's happened here, and it's extremely, extremely disappointing. I've heard And we'll hear from Commissioner Franz on what a great deal this is. And we've heard from my good friend, Chair Marquardt, what a good deal this is. But that is useless chatter because a deal's a deal. If these things are so great, and we've heard that the amendment makes Minnesota better, makes Minnesota a safer, healthier place, well, that's all good. We're all for that. But a deal's a deal. And if these things are so good that are being proposed in this amendment, run them through as a bill. You can pass them. You probably get a tremendous amount of votes on this thing. But this is so disappointing. And what we're going to hear from Commissioner Franz and what we've heard from Marquardt is just useless chatter. It doesn't matter. When you make the deal, you make the deal. This you're going to hear a very loud thud when this thing hits the ground. This approach is going to endanger, if not eliminate, the work that was done by the four. And I think the four did a great job. They really did. And we need to support that. We cannot condone the behavior of what has happened here with one of the parties backing off on the deal. So we can talk all day long. Like I said, it's useless chatter. We can talk all day long about how great this is. And as I looked at the amendment, there's more shifts and gimmicks in this thing than I've ever seen. And I'm the master of shifts and gimmicks. I know all about them because I've, when you take care of a $6.2 billion shortfall in 2011, and when that budget's done in 2013, you broke even. Were there some shifts and gimmicks? You bet there were. But to say that this doesn't cost anything, that it's, I'm not sure how you spend money and it doesn't cost anything. And we can play all the games we want to do with this. And like I said, this is shifts and gimmicks, and we're breaking a deal. And like I said, where I come from back on the farm, you make a deal, you honor your word. And that's not what we're doing here to the people of Minnesota today. And not to say that all the things they're amended are bad. They're not. There's a lot of things I've supported. I've supported veterans over the years. I've supported the state patrol over the years. But to do it in this fashion, and to jeopardize where we have an issue here where we may get nothing out of this, which is very possible, I think it's shameful at best. So shifts and gimmicks, breaking a deal's a deal, Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Representative Hamilton.
Well, thank you. And you know, mine was brought up in about one of the counties that I represent, but I want to bring up the fact that all the reporting of four counties, and three of the other counties have issues as well. And when Representative Davids brought up a deal's a deal, it takes me back a few years ago when Speaker Anderson Kelleher was Speaker, and at a session we had a deal that we would have in special session one bill, and all of a sudden the second bill came up where the opposing party, if you will, in this case, broke the deal or was going to break the deal. And I stood up and delivered a speech about a frog and a scorpion, saying that a deal is a deal. And again, the deal that was cut is not simply where a hot spot was, looking at the issues all across the state. And like I said, I represent a portion of four different counties. And those three other counties that were not mentioned also have been impacted by that. They do need to be funded. But I'm going to echo what Representative David said. A deal's a deal, and we should be honoring that. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Albright.
Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm the minority lead on state government finance, and I have had a great working relationship with Representative and Chair Mike Nelson. And I bring that up because of another very difficult negotiation and I wouldn't call it a compromise, but we came to an agreement over an elections bill that was very contentious, that was very high profile, and included members of all four caucuses in order to achieve a strong bipartisan effort on behalf of both caucuses, both chambers. And I look at the manner in which Chair Nelson at various times stood in defense of the work that myself and Representative Nash and Representative Kiffmeyer, or excuse me, Senator Kiffmeyer and others accomplished to hold that agreement together while external forces were fighting us to change it, to add to it, to basically scuttle it. But I tip my hat to Representative Nelson because on a couple of occasions he took some pretty hard votes to defend his word. He kept his word to me and to my caucus. And what's most troubling about what we are being presented with today is that that very same tenet that both Representative Hamilton and Representative David spoke to has been broken. The four members that were asked and also then charged with arriving at an agreement that would provide incredibly necessary and emergency funding to the other 85 counties across the state was achieved. They did their job. And now we stand waiting on a decision in terms of somebody didn't feel like they got their way. Somebody doesn't feel like they got included. And so, Representative Marquardt, I've always respected the work that you've done. We've had a good working relationship, but I'm disappointed that you would go outside the bounds of that agreement and include provisions that were not agreed to, were never talked about. Doesn't matter who instigated them. Doesn't matter, you know, how they were brought to, you know, your attention. But the deal was broken. You broke the bond and the covenant that representatives and senators came together and put together. I am very disappointed in the work of this committee that would condone a breaking of the covenant between the members. What are we to believe going forward on any other type of high profile or difficult negotiations if this is the manner in which that we hope to treat each other? For so long, the public has asked us, why can't you just get things done? Why can't you just get together and figure it out? The four of them did. They figured it out. Strongly bipartisan. Look at the vote in the Senate. And so here we sit, moving the goalposts again because someone didn't get their way. This is greatly disappointing on a number of levels. And I hope that your caucus understands the damage that's been done to the relationships that sit around this table and sit inside that chamber. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any further discussion? Maybe before I recognize Representative Garofalo, I should point out yesterday I received a text. There wasn't a name attached. I think I may know who it is, but I wanted to know if they could comment or should comment yesterday or this morning. Do we have anybody that is waiting that wanted to comment about the bill from the public? Apparently not. Ms. Conley, is there anybody in the waiting room?
No.
Okay. Wanted to give that opportunity. Just want to point out that we did request Commissioner Franz to be present if there are any questions of Commissioner Franz. With that, we will go to Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Marquardt, the deal's a deal, but I want to give you a chance to respond to that. If there's been something that's been said today that's untrue, if there wasn't a deal, if we did not have an agreement, if we did not have, if we were not assigned we're not delegated the responsibilities to reach an agreement by the four caucus leaders, now is your opportunity to correct any of the things that Representative Albright, Davids, or Hamilton said. I'd like your comments on that.
We always give the author a chance for concluding comments, so whenever Representative Marquardt is ready, that will be fine. But in the meantime, let's give other members that might have some questions or comments a chance, and then we'll recognize Representative Marquardt for concluding comments, and I'm sure he'll respond to your questions. Representative Druskowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The discussion is very interesting. I would just offer Representative Marquardt and members, a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, Representative Garofalo, did you raise your hand again?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Representative Garofalo.
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess I was politely asking a question of Representative Marquardt. So I'd like to close up on our side, but that was a question for Representative Marquardt, and I'd like an answer from him.
Representative Marquardt?
Yeah, you bet. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Speaker, and Representative Garofalo. And again, it was appreciated working with you on making that deal. And so, no, there's been no changes to the $841 million agreement. That was agreed on to spend that COVID dollars, send $841 million out to our counties, our cities, and townships. There's no change to that. And, you know, first of all, there's not many bills that come out in special session. So you have to be as efficient as possible. That's why you may not be able to introduce and do bills separately. We know how a special session operates. We also know that a final legislative deal is never a deal until the governor and both leadership from the House and the Senate are on board. But I will also say that, and I'll use 2014 as an example, that I was the chair of the education, K through 12 Education Finance Committee, and we had worked out a deal, and that education portion that we worked out went into a supplemental budget that Chair Carlson authored that had many different bills in there. So even we didn't break any agreement with that education bill that year by putting it into a larger bill that had other things that people may or may not have agreed with. So no, this agreement is intact. There is no violation of that agreement on the $841 million.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Garofalo.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman and Representative Marquardt, if adding items to an agreement is not breaking the agreement, then what does the word agreement mean?
Are you posing that to Representative Marquardt?
Yes, or I am.
Representative Marquardt.
The agreement was on the $841 million that went out to these communities, and there were no changes to that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Marquardt, so when additional items are added to something that we came to a mutual agreement on, doesn't that change the definition of the word agreement?
Mr. Chair and Representative Garofalo, no, it doesn't. As I explained before in the 2014 example, there are many times that various chairs and leads come to agreements, and they are put then into part of a larger bill or part of a larger agreement that those people who agreed to that smaller portion may not agree to things overall. And I don't see a difference in that.
So Mr. Chairman.
Representative Grubb.
Representative Marquardt, you and I, Senator Rosen and Senator Dietzick, were tasked with the responsibilities from leadership. We were given a target to meet. Our side of the aisle is confused by what has happened on the other side of the aisle. If you guys had concerns with the agreement we've made, if you wanted to make changes to it, there were numerous points in the process you could have raised objections. First of all, at the very beginning, all four of us, it wasn't like we were doing anything without unanimous agreement of all four. You could have stopped it then. When the Senate, DFL, all voted for this bill earlier, you could have communicated with them to say, hey, we have to make changes to this, vote against it. You could have communicated to the Association of Minnesota Counties, the League of Minnesota Cities, the Coalition of Greater Minnesota Cities. This is how an agreement is reached. And the idea that parties can unilaterally tack on the language or appropriations they want to an agreement, it defies common sense. So, you know, you guys are going to pass this bill today. It sounds like this bill is it's not going to be voted on in this fashion on the House floor. It sounds like that's the cooler heads are prevailing. But I would simply ask members of the DFL to understand, if you're a member of the House Republican Caucus right now, how do we believe you guys? How do we reach agreements on other items if the House DFL thinks they can tack anything on they want after the fact? It completely eliminates the purpose of negotiations, that you feel you can unilaterally add things to agreements. So we'll see where things go. I think the next 24 hours are going to be pretty important. I don't know. I'm hoping that you are having conversations with some of your Senate Republican colleagues. I'll let them speak for themselves on what this means. But I don't know how we're able to reach mutual agreements on things, when one party thinks after the fact they can add whatever they want to stuff. I don't know how that's even possible to make things happen. So we'll see where things go. I understand that right now there's a lot of pressure and a lot of anxiety in a lot of people. The effects of the pandemic combined with the civil disobedience and riots in Minneapolis, high unemployment rates, a lot of people are under a lot of anxiety right now. And as one of my House DFL colleagues said to me, when people are under anxiety, they don't make their best decisions. So I'm just can hope that people take a breath, calm down, take a step back, and realize that if the going forward people feel they can tack stuff on to whatever they want on whatever agreement, then it doesn't really make a lot of sense to negotiate things. You know, Representative Marquardt, I mentioned this briefly yesterday, but it's worth repeating. You know, whether you like it or not, younger members are going to look up to you, right? And there's been a multi-decade trend in this legislature under both Republicans and DFLers where fewer and fewer people are making more and more decisions. And the art of compromise, the art of working together is becoming less frequent. And the message, whether it's being communicated on purpose or by accident, is that when you go out and make a deal, even if you're authorized to make the deal, it doesn't mean anything unless one person signs off on it. Now, historically, we've passed the bills, we've sent them to the governor. If the governor doesn't like it, he vetoes it. But injecting himself into that negotiation process, we did good work, Representative Marquardt. I understand the bill isn't perfect, right? Anyone from the cheap seats can throw rocks at us for. But we did good work. The entire purpose of this exercise was to pass the bill by itself last Friday. We're supposed to demonstrate to people that this is how you work together to build some trust, to build some positive momentum, to get things going forward. That's how we ended up at 841 versus 667. That number came from leadership, not from you and I. And it's been sabotaged. So again, the next 20, you know, you guys will pass your bill out of committee here, but the next 24 hours are really important. And I would just hope cooler heads prevail. So Representative Marquardt, it was great working with you. I'm disappointed that we ended up in this spot. We were supposed to be role models for how to demonstrate to other legislators how to work together and solve problems for leadership. But I don't know how we get a bonding bill, a tax bill, a spending bill. I don't know how we get agreements on anything if you feel that you can add things to agreements. So that's my closing comments. I'll be voting no today. I would encourage my colleagues to vote no, and we'll see how things shake out today.
Okay, any further discussion? Representative Marquardt, would you care to renew your motion?
So, well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members, and appreciate Representative Garofalo's and others' comments. You know, one thing that was mentioned today is that we could have done a separate bill, but the Senate has unilaterally decided to end the session on Friday, which really prevents us from going through that process and doing a separate bill. So, you know, when we talk about things that happen, that unilateral decision has really prompted us to move a lot more quickly, a lot more efficiently on things. And in special session, things move very quickly. And Senate File 47, as amended, is really going to provide some very important funding. As we've talked about, funding for our local units of government to cover the COVID-19 expenses. It'll also get dollars out to businesses and individuals who have emergency financial needs. That's really, really important. And the amendment that was added on just adds to that. As I said, it makes our community stronger and healthier. It's safer, all of those things. And, you know, I think having the backs of personal care attendants who are working with our most vulnerable people day in and day out is not useless chatter. It just simply is not. These are things that should have been addressed, and they will, these are people in our communities that if we provide them with the help that they have, they can better serve our own constituents back in our local district. So another big part, again, is parents and step-parents and guardians now can receive funding for personal care attendant funding to take care of their children who have disabilities or other type of concerns. I think that's so important. We've all heard out there about childcare. You know, in rural Minnesota, that is really, we've got shortages out there. And one of the reasons is the reimbursement on the CCAP, Child Care Assistance Program. This provides for that. Veterans, one of the biggest problems we have there is homelessness for veterans. This would help get to the goal of eliminating homelessness for veterans and also provide a suicide prevention office. Extremely important. Again, people in our communities, I think this is a very worthwhile conversation to talk about. And I think it's very appropriate to put in this bill. Young families could see a $500 one-time help assistance to help get through this COVID-19 problem from Minnesota Family Investment Program. So this is an important conversation. And this is an amendment that does not add one single dime to our budget deficit. In fact, it saves the state on the general fund about $7 million. So members, I really think we have to, you know, there's a lot of things that maybe can be worked out better, but in a special session, where now we have basically a Friday deadline because of what the Senate has set, we need to move efficiently and probably not in the deliberative long process type of routine we normally would do. And so, members, I ask for your vote. This is going to help our communities. It's going to help our most vulnerable citizens around the state, and I do believe this whole bill works in tandem, and again, making our community stronger, healthier, and safer. So members, with that, I would renew my motion that Senate File 47, First and Growth Cement, as amended, be recommended to be placed on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us. Any further discussion? I might just briefly comment before I call for the vote. And Representative Marquardt touched on that. But, you know, as chair of this committee, I have to watch closely what we need to get done during the special session or what we needed to get done. From the get-go, I could see a problem, and I think if I recall correctly, actually shared this minority lead, that it was the Senate that was driving the timeline. And when they, right from the very beginning, indicated that they were going to be adjourning on Friday, I could see that that was going to create a problem in terms of getting things that, as part of the majority, I felt needed to be done. So I think members have to keep that in mind. That was something that was beyond the House's control, beyond my control. If they're willing to adjourn sine die, that created a problem in terms of my scheduling bills. I would say for the various divisions as well. As recently as last night on the question of the agreement, I had conversations with one of the members who was interested in an amendment. And I said I would be willing to entertain that amendment as long as it didn't touch the agreement. So I was protective of the agreement right up until about 9:30 last night in my conversations. And that agreement is intact as we prepare to vote on the bill. Now, this requires for the final passage a roll call, so the clerk will take the roll.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson, aye. Representative Olson.
Olson, aye.
Olson, aye. Representative Garofalo.
Garofalo, no.
Garofalo, no. Representative Albright.
Right, no.
Albright, no. Representative Bernardi.
Bernardi, aye.
Bernardi, aye. Representative Davids.
No.
Davids, no. Representative Davney.
Davney, aye.
Davney, aye. Representative Druskowski.
Druskowski, no.
Druskowski, no. Representative Eklund.
Eklund, aye.
Eklund, aye. Representative Hamilton.
No.
Hamilton, no. Representative Hansen.
Hansen, aye.
Hansen, aye. Representative Hausman.
Hausman, aye.
Hausman, aye. Representative Hertas.
Hertas, no.
Hertas, no. Representative Hornstein.
Hornstein, aye.
Hornstein, aye. Representative Kreisha.
Kreisha, no.
Kreisha, no. Representative Liebling.
Liebling, aye.
Liebling, aye. Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Lilly, aye. Representative Long.
Long, aye.
Long, aye. Representative Mariani.
Mariani, aye.
Mariani, aye. Representative Marquardt.
Marquardt, aye.
Marquardt, aye. Representative Nelson.
Nelson, aye.
Nelson, aye. Representative Neuer.
Neuer, aye.
Neuer, aye. Representative Pawlowski.
Aye.
Pawlowski, aye. Representative Poppy.
Poppy, aye.
Poppy, aye. Representative Schumacher.
Schumacher, aye.
Schumacher, aye. Representative Scott. Excused. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, no.
Torkelson, no. Representative Vogel.
Vogel, no.
Vogel, no. Representative Wagenius.
Wagenius, aye.
Wagenius, aye.
Schumacher changes from aye to no.
Schumacher, no. 18 ayes, 10 nays.
Okay, motion carries, and the bill is on its way to the general register. Before we adjourn, I would like to thank Commissioner Franz for being available both yesterday and this morning if there were questions. So thank you, Commissioner Franz. In addition to that, it was a vigorous debate, but I think a polite debate, and I would like to thank members. And I'm not sure if we'll meet again during the special session or not. Things are breaking rather rapidly. But if we don't, I want to thank members, and we'll let you know if we do have to reconvene at some point. With that, meeting adjourned.